I'm sorry. But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and little children. Victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Do you know where he kept his records?
I think so.
Show me those records and I'll build a new brain for you.
Once again, Max Ashley here, sitting on the volcano, sending a big hello to all my fellow Vulcans out there in the Limestone Coast, and anyone who may be listening from further afield. Because you can do that, all you've got to do is know that we're here to start with, and then get to our website, 5GDR. .net, and you can stream us wherever you may be in the world, whether that be Munich, Germany, or maybe Chemnitz, if you've got your feet out of the water, or Prague, where you're probably paddling around your lounge room, or Belfast, where you're definitely not catching a train, or you could be a little bit closer to home, you could be in the Red Centre, and if you are, then I'm envious. Always do like getting my toes into some red sand. Well, what a week. I'm going to show I've got for you tonight. We've got the final part of the Ola Damagod interview in regards to coup d'etat in slow motion, his book about the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme on February the 28th, 1986. And we'll be getting to that a bit later. We've got the A News as well, and I'll also be bringing you lots of different stories that I've been looking at during the week, as well as some interesting theories, new theories that I came across, or new science actually, called biogeometry. If you haven't been on Find the Sky before, then I welcome you to the show. This is a show where we get to look at the world in an objective way, using a bit of logic, and helping you work out your reality, basically. And I definitely encourage you not to take anything I say for granted. Go out and look for yourself. That's the way it should be. I always get personally a little bit nervous when people say, "I know." Maybe that comes from reading too much Plato and the influence of Socrates and his never-ending struggle against the sophists. By the way, that's the people that say, "I know, I know." Anyway, if it is your first time here, then the music genre that I offer up to you is a bit of acid jazz, a bit of drum and bass, alternative music. I do like guitar with decent lyrics, and it's not that hard to come by these days, as long as you keep away from the mainstream. But getting back to the week, now what happened in this wonderful world of ours in the last 7 days? Excuse me there, just had to have a bit of a cough. Well, we've been reporting about the Fukushima fallout and the effects it is having on the environment around Fukushima, as well as the problems it is having with the oceans, and I'll be bringing a bit more to you about that with reports of tuna with, strangely enough, traces of cesium-134 and cesium-137 in them. And it gets worse. I'll be bringing you more on that later. During the week, only one quake in the six magnitude zone. Excuse me for that again. The one time in the week that I consume a commercial product, and that is here for some strange reason, probably because there's a machine here. And I've just discovered it doesn't go better with everything. No. Anyway. Now, the North Pole. The North Pole seems to be moving and keeping on moving, and it spirals actually, but it's moving about a mile a day and it is heading towards Russia. And this could be the cause of the drastic weather changes that we're continually seeing throughout the world. Well, it could be part of it, you know, apart from the geoengineering being performed in the atmosphere. And the Turkey riots, well, they continued through the week as President Erdogan tries to lay the blame at the feet of the unionists and opposition parties. And by the end of the week, he warned that the government's patience could run out. Well, Erdogan, I would say that it seems that the people's patience has run out. And it seems that the manufactured social divisions that are created in societies are crumbling a little bit in Turkey, with rival soccer fans gathering together, uniting against the government. Yes. And, well, the new surveillance-proof app is coming on the market. It's going to be to secure communications, and it has governments a little bit nervous. And Mike Jenke has been getting what he calls the hairy eyeball from international government agencies. The 44-year-old former Navy SEAL commando, together with two of the world's most renowned cryptographers, was always bound to ruffle some high-level feathers with his new project, a surveillance resistance communications platform that makes complex encryption so simple your grandma can use it. And that new system is called Silent Circle. And I'll be bringing some more on that a little bit later. And in San Antonio, well, the police have tasered a father to prevent him from entering his parents' burning house to find his son. His son did perish in the fire. A Russian movie is going to be coming out, and it highlights the legend of that space legend, Gagarin. I'm looking forward to seeing that, because the Russians do make very good movies. They come from a very long and esteemed history of movie making. And flooding, there it goes again. Flooding in Central Europe continues. Flooding and damages have primarily been affected south and south and east German states of Turing, Saxony, Saxony-Anhalt, Lower Saxony, Bavaria, and Baden-Württemberg. Western regions of the Czech Republic, Bohemia, they do good beer in Bohemia, I might add, as well as Austria, Switzerland, there it goes again, Slovakia, Belarus, Poland, and Hungary have been affected to a lesser extent. And the flood, the Elbe and the Danube are the main drainage basins, and are the ones causing the main problems there. And in Ireland, good old Ireland, Belfast to be more specific, railways have been closed due to heavy rains. And FEMA refuses Hurricane Sandy, a victim of Hurricane Sandy who is a war veteran, any sort of funds to rebuild after that that hurricane swept through New York. And that's bad, but Hurricane Katrina victims are still awaiting processing for rebuilding funds, and those that are affected seem to be in the poor areas that were worst hit, while the rich suburbs with far less damage, well, they have already received their funding. And the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, in a new report, estimates that Israel has around 80 strategic level nuclear weapons. Israel has followed a course of what is often called nuclear ambiguity, claiming that it would not be the first country to introduce nuclear weapons to the Middle East, leaving ambiguity as to whether it means it will not create, will not disclose, will not make first use of the weapons, or possibly some other interpretation of the phrase. In spite of strong international pressure, Israel has refused to sign the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, claiming that to do so would be contrary to its national security interests. And the Bilderberg meeting, well, that was happening all over the weekend, with the mainstream media reluctantly admitting that the event even exists. Millions have been spent to protect the elite of Europe and America with taxpayers' money. She is the taxpayers' money from Hertfordshire, footing the bill for the police and also the fencing. And this year, an area was allocated for a Bilderberg Fringe, where David Icke and Alex Jones, among others, spoke, with David Icke streaming the event on his website and to his ever-increasing numbers of viewers and listeners. And the Bilderberg meeting, along with the Trilateral Commission, G20, G8 and others, raises the very poignant issue of secret meetings involving government policies, something which is illegal in most Western democracies. And more good news involving David Icke, and that is that he's getting a radio and TV show up and running. He put it up at the beginning, well, last Saturday, just over a week ago, on one of the websites to finance an idea, looking for £100,000. He had 30 days to get it. He got it in 6. So more non-stream information will be available for everybody. Well, that is the week in the part. A few highlights, some of the stuff that Max got to check out during the week. But right now, getting back to the show, and I think we should go for a little bit of KLF here. You're on Fly in the Sky on 5GTR, and this is Justified and Ancient. is Matthew Goff there on Didge from Alice Springs. Don't know who's backing him up there on guitar. Oh, it's actually a bit of a more of a lead than a backup. But that comes off of Matthew Goff's album, Helicopter. And before that, we heard a bit of Jeff Lang, and that was The Lonesome Death. And kicking off this evening, KLF and Justified and Ancient. Well, it's a bit of a time for... yes, it's time for the A-News. Find the Sky. Max Ashley. Bringing you the A-News. First story up today. Well, the latest whistleblower identifies himself. This story comes from RT News, Russian Today. You can find that at rt.com. And a source behind the leak of the top-secret NSA surveillance program, one of the most significant leaks in U.S. history, has been revealed. A 29-year-old former CIA contractor, Edward Snowden, has fled to Hong Kong to avoid the fate of Bradley Manning, who is on trial as we speak. The former technical assistant for the CIA and current employee of the defense contractor Booz Allen Hamilton has asked The Guardian to reveal his identity and had never planned on hiding. "I have no intention of hiding who I am because I know I have done nothing wrong," he said in an interview. Snowden predicts that the government will launch an investigation against him. However, it was a matter of principle for him because he believes that the people should know how the government intrudes into their privacy. According to Snowden, he acted out of a desire to protect basic liberties and to send a message to government that people will not be intimidated. "I can't in good conscience allow the US government to destroy privacy, internet freedom and basic liberties for people around the world with this massive surveillance machine they're secretly building," said the whistleblower. Snowden leaked top secret documents to The Guardian that included the existence of a US National Security Agency's extensive spying program called PRISM. The program was designed to collect information about digital communications, allowing real-time online surveillance of US citizens. According to the leaked information, it gives direct access to files from servers of major internet companies, including Google and Facebook. The spying program was allegedly targeted to identify folks who might engage in terrorism, according to a US President Barack Obama, who noted that American citizens should be prepared to trade some of their freedoms for more safety. Now, where have we heard that before? It all started a long time ago, didn't it? About 2001, I reckon. September, I think. Now, Snowden said he is willingly sacrificing his very comfortable life with a family he loves and a stable career with a salary of around $200,000 a year. He says, "My sole motive is to inform the public as to that which is done in their name and that which is done against them." A former MI5 agent, Annie McMahon, believes that Snowden will be the first of a series of modern whistleblowers who learnt from the terrible tragedy of the Bradley Manning case. "The way he has run the whole exposure and disclosure of the crimes of the NSA and what they are doing against the American people and the rest of the world, people, has been very sophisticated, and I take heart from that. The fact that he has fled the USA, he is now in Hong Kong, the fact that he has been working with journalists of Glenn Greenwald's caliber," McBarn told RT, "I think it's been very, very well done. I would call this whistleblowing 2.0. The revelation of the whistleblower's identity comes after NSA filed a leak investigation report on Sunday to the Justice Department for it to launch a criminal case into the breach of security. The leaks also come amid US Army Private Bradley Manning's trial on charges of transmitting classified materials connected with US military operations abroad to the WikiLeaks website. The Obama administration has aggressively pursued whistleblowers, and Snowden expects the government to pursue him. However, he states that he is not afraid because this is the choice I've made. For the full report, go to rt.com. And a little bit about Snowden. Snowden was brought up originally in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, before his family moved to Maryland. He was not an excellent pupil, as he never graduated from the school he attended, though he later obtained his GED in 2003. He enlisted in the US Army as he wanted to fight in Iraq and help people from oppression. Though after the army, his political beliefs shifted as he understood that he was mistaken about the purpose of the war. Most of the people training us seemed pumped up about killing Arabs, not helping anyone, he said. Moving on to our next story. Monsanto pushes a bizarre conspiracy theory to deflect blame from the GMO wheat contamination of commercial crops. The story comes from Natural News. There is a grand conspiracy theory at work to destroy the value of US wheat crops, Monsanto recently told mainstream media reporters in a telephone conference. The contaminated GE wheat recently discovered in Oregon didn't get there by escaping Monsanto's open-air GMO experiments, the company claims. Instead, they say it might have been put there by a conspiracy of crop criminals who somehow acquired GE wheat from Monsanto's field trials way back in 2005, then somehow saved it in a way that kept it in genetically viable ways for 8 years, then supposedly drove around Oregon for the sole purpose of releasing the GMOs in some farmer's field that they just hoped the USDA might be someday testing for GMO contamination. Well, that is a far-fetched conspiracy theory, and it's being pushed by Monsanto to explain how commercial wheat crops in Oregon got contaminated with GMOs. It was put forth by Chief Technology Officer Rob Fraley, a Monsanto executive, in a phone call with reporters. It seems likely to be a random isolated occurrence more consistent with the accidental or purposeful mixing of a small amount of seed during the planting, harvesting, or during the fallow cycle in an individual field, Fraley said on the call, making him the first Monsanto executive to publicly admit he is a conspiracy theorist. He goes on to confirm that the company is investigating the possibility of sabotage to explain the wheat field contamination. There's only one problem with this bizarre conspiracy theory. No one knew in advance the USDA would be testing that farmer's wheat field in Oregon. In fact, testing fields for GMO contamination is such a rare thing that the odds of a brand of conspiracy activists correctly guessing which field was going to be tested by the USDA are at least 10,000 to 1. To successfully pull off this wild conspiracy theory being pushed by Monsanto, activists would have had to contaminate nearly all commercial wheat fields with genetically modified seed, and this would have involved a nationwide logistics effort of such magnitude that it would have been impossible to keep it secret. Is Monsanto really suggesting there exists a secret group of hundreds of thousands of activists driving around the country in unmarked vans, flinging Monsanto's own wheat seeds into the commercial wheat fields right at the beginning of planting season? For the full report, go to naturalnews.com. That is the A News for this hour. I'll be bringing you some more A News in the next hour. You are on Fire in the Sky, and I am just queuing up my music now. Now, let me see. What would we have here? Oh, yes. Well, a bit of a Berlin flashback here. Here's a bit of emotion. You're on Fire in the Sky. Max Ashley here. You are on 5GTR, beaming out at 100.1 around the volcano and across the solar system, because those microwaves just keep on going and going and going and going and going and going. We'll be right back.
was that?
Oh, my stomach. I'm starving.
Sounds like you need to go to Paradise Pizzas.
Paradise Pizzas?
They have loads of yummy pizza, plus pasta, and they even do ribs. And they have a special ready-to-go menu daily, so there's no waiting.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Plus, on Tuesdays, you can get any large pizza from just $6.50 all day.
Well, you better tell my tummy where they are so we can go and get some.
Paradise Pizzas are open 11 a.m. daily and are located at 205 Commercial Street West, 87249588. Sponsors of 5GDRFM and Tuesday Night Live.
Did you know your community radio is live streaming on the net right now? Go to 5GDRFM.net, click on the link, and you can listen live anywhere in the world. It's 5GDR.net. Head to it now.
Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show on 5GDRFM.
Start your day off the right way by tuning in to 5GDR's Breakfast Show, thanks to the team at Carrison Electrical. And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the film. Each weekday morning from 6, you'll be entertained with great music, news, information, and maybe the odd joke or two. Join various presenters on the 5GTR Breakfast Show weekday mornings thanks to Carrison Electrical, another reason why we are your choice.
Sweet Baby James. If ever you get to see them lined up at a gig anywhere, then pay your bucks to go in, because it's a very mighty fine gig that they do. Nice slapping blues with a lot of originals, and they also team up with Heather Stewart. So the Heather Stewart trio, and they work very well together. Now, wanted to just bring to you a bit more about the Fukushima fallout that I've just killed from my page. It was about a year ago that you probably would have seen some funky little maps of the spread of the contamination from the Fukushima Daiichi power plant, and a year ago it was stretching across what was already past Hawaii. So that travels pretty quick, and it must be well past Hawaii. It must be basically going down the sides of Canada and America right now, which is very problem. It was a huge problem with what am I trying to say here? When I look for the story after it's disappeared, the children that are being born are already having thyroid problems, and it seems that this is a problem that is only going to get worse, unfortunately. And it's cesium 134 and cesium 137, all stuff which is not that good for anyone at all, that is for sure. And so not only that, there's the North Americans have been picking it up in rainfall as well, as the rain gathers it after it the moisture evaporates, and the water particles contain those elements, and as well as mist from breaking waves also combine with weather patterns, or with air masses as well. So funnily enough, the American government has increased the yardstick for what is acceptable, what levels of radiation is acceptable in food, so that alarm bells don't go off. The Japanese government have also done something very similar, so that what we thought were the levels are not now actually the levels anymore. So it's a little bit of a cheeky way, actually. A cheeky way of getting around having alarm bells go off. And back to the fish, because the tuna travel such a long way, they travel around about 24,850 miles. They cross the Pacific three times in 600 days. So they're actually swimming through the whole field of the radiation coming out of Fukushima, and every day more and more fluid is being released into the ocean that is contaminated. The area directly around Fukushima is blocked off. No one can fish there. I'm not sure that anyone would want to fish there, apart from a corporation, I suppose. Be good for cat food, wouldn't it? Yes, glow-in-the-dark cat food. Get your pussy glowing. You'll be able to see him in the backyard at night. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, it's shocking. But there's one report from the CNN, and the report states low levels of radioactive cesium from Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear accident turned up in fish caught off California in 2011. Researchers reported on Monday the bluefin spawn off Japan and many migrate across the Pacific Ocean. Tissue samples taken from 15 bluefin caught in August 5 months after the meltdown at Fukushima Daiichi, all contained reactor byproducts cesium-134 and cesium-137 at levels that produced a radiation about 3% higher than natural background sources. The Wall Street Journal also commented on it, and Reuters as well. So it is starting to get noticed, but unfortunately it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Well now, getting up to, what have I got tonight? I'm just trying to work out, when should I play Ola Demigod? What I think I might do, I think I might just slot in this little message from our sponsors, and then kick off after that with a little bit of the story of Coup d'etat in slow motion.
The best in blues and
nothing but the blues.
You simply can't miss the mixed bowl of blues.
Every Tuesday from 2 to 4.
When John M takes the latest
and the greatest, throws them all into a great big blues bowl.
Boils and simmers, then serves up the finest gumbo of music for 2 hours.
That will leave you totally satisfied.
Yeah, eagerly awaiting for next week's serving of the best in blues.
2
to 4.
Tuesdays on a community radio station.
5GTRFM.
Hey, I'm Max. Woof. When I got last, Limestone Coast Dog Rescue looked after me and tried to find my family. We searched, but we could not find them. So Limestone Coast Dog Rescue put me up for adoption. Woof. Guess what? I found a new home. All our dogs are de-sexed, microchipped, vaccinated, and have some basic training before joining new families. Oh, look, a ball. If you have lost a dog or are looking for a new one or are interested in being a foster carer, call Narelle at Limestone Coast Dog Rescue on 0408 828 677 or check out our pics on Facebook. Woof. Limestone Coast Dog Rescue of Narracourt. Sponsors of 5 GDR. Anyone want a slobbery ball? Woof!
Jenny is driving over 55 k's an hour in a 50 zone. There are a few cars on the road and a bus, which stops. If she's quick, she can just get round the bus before the oncoming traffic arrives. A van pulled out from a side street in front of the bus, and she was going just a bit too fast to avoid it, and all because she was running late for work. Speeding. What's your excuse? The Government of South Australia and the Motor Accident Commission ask you to stop. Think.
You are on Fire in the Sky. Max Ashley here. And this is 5GTR. And coming up now, we've got the fourth and final part of the Ola Demigod interview in regards to Coup d'etat in slow motion, a book that he's written about the 1986 assassination of Olof Palme, the Swedish Prime Minister, an event that a lot of people don't know about at all, and an event which really is quite intriguing. He has been researching this for about 20 years now, and he's discovered links with many other assassinations, including Malcolm X, JFK, John Lennon, Bob Marley. Yes, that was a hit as well. That big toe cancer was big toe cancer, but there's an interesting story behind that. So I'll play you the last part. There's going to be more from Ola as well. He's going to be back on. I'm going to interview him again in regards to some of those other incidences and the names that pop up from the Palme assassination. And it's one event that I've covered here on Fire in the Sky, or one event as well, which is the Estonia and the sinking of that in 1993. But first of all, there's a little bit of music from Ola, and then it will be the interview. So get your drink, sit back, relax. Here's Ola Demigod with pushing a button here. Is it? Here we go. And this is some of the music that you can get from his website. You just go to murderofpalma.com and you can download the book as well as the music. You're on Fire in the Sky, Max Ashley, 5GDR.
For those who have good right to sleep, there is no physician like cheerful thought for dissipating the ills of the body.
Have to fight anymore.
Like the the dreamers are the saviors of the world. And then, peace, be still.
Spy in the Sky. Interview. Ola Demogorg. Part 4.
Putting, you know, a finger right in the eye of the South African regime, making them even more obvious that they wanted to kill him. But anyway, this contract was given to Craig Williamson, Colonel Craig Williamson, and he had his headquarters just outside Johannesburg in a little farm called Daisy Farm. It was a little farm in the countryside, but it was actually like a central of terror, of torture and terror, really awful, awful place. Anyway, so for some months there, Craig Williamson put together a team of different assassins. He used some of his own people, one of them being a Rhodesian guy called Anthony White. He used some West German people who was also working for BOS, the South African secret police. And he used some, he had contacts in Sweden, these right-wing policemen in Sweden. He used a Norwegian mercenary, and he used some American people as well, or one American that used to be, there are some direct connections to the JFK assassination that I can do afterwards. But anyway, he put together this team of highly skilled assassins with no apparent connection, and all of them working indirectly or connected with the Stay Behind movement that, as far as I know, you already presented in your program.
That we have.
Anyway, super. So this team was sent, it was prepared for a couple of months, and then it was sent, they came in, like three of them flew in from South Africa to Luxembourg. They were picked up there by, his name was Franz Esser, West German, but agent for South African BOS. He drove them to Sweden, through Denmark and into Sweden, and then they, in a camper van, and they were hiding out in the forest in Sweden first, and then with the help of these right-wing policemen in Stockholm from the baseball gang, they helped them with the logistics, with weapons, with housing, with ammo, food, all of these type of things. Other people were flown in private planes. Some came in cars and so on. So the whole team were assembled outside Stockholm. And after that, they were split up in groups, and they were put to keep Olof Palme under surveillance from, I think, late November and then January and February. During this time, he was under surveillance by these people. He was a weapon expert and Nazi. He was the one who was supposed to supply them with guns and fake ammo. Fake ammo. But they were not supposed to know that it was fake. Do you see what I'm saying? So the people doing the assassination believed that they were actually killing him,
mm-hmm.
but the bullets were fake. That was the whole idea of the setup. Okay, so in the meantime, when all of these things were going on and Palme was clearing his name, this hit team was getting closer and closer to the date when they were planning to get him. At the same time, there was a series of meetings arranged by members of the elite, because they were, like I told you before, they were very pissed off with his behavior and all the things that he was doing against them and acting totally unreliable. They couldn't control him anymore. And in these meetings, one of the meetings were in Wiltshire in England, and there were people from NATO, there were people from the big banks, there were politicians, there were military people, secret service, different from different countries. And they decided that this guy has crossed the line. We need to take him out before it's too late, because he's just doing totally stupid things. One of the things that they feared the most was that he wanted to make Sweden, and thereby Scandinavia, a nuclear-free zone, meaning that nuclear submarines, and these were not no longer allowed in that area, and also no nuclear weapons, and so it was messing it up big time for them strategically. It was very important for them mm-hmm. to stop him. So they assigned a hit team to take him out. And while they were doing preparing this, they somehow heard of this other assassination plan going on. So if we call them the Palmer team and the NATO team, then we separate them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Palmer team is the fake one, and the NATO team is the one that are pissed off with him and wants to take him out. He was shot just outside the Skandia building. The Skandia is an insurance company in Sweden. But it was also the headquarters during many years of Stay Behind. And Olof Palme was very involved in the creation of this Stay Behind in Sweden and the development of Stay Behind. So that building is very central in this. And underneath, under the level of subways, the subway system in Stockholm, the level below that, there's a network of about 618 kilometers of tunnels.
That's
that are used
that's
by
military.
No, but they're under many of the big cities in Europe, at least, you have these network of tunnels. And these are used by, you tell me, but military, whatever. And it also connects all the major buildings, you know, the parliament, the palace, the...
Everything, yeah.
The bank, all the so-called important people. And it mm-hmm. it was a major part of the Stay Behind build-up that they would, in case of an invasion, all the so-called important people could be smuggled out through these tunnels and then taken to Norway, flown to London, and then from London they could arrange for defense against whoever was the invaders.
Yeah, it's just that Stockholm's not a very large city, and 602 kilometres, that's an incredible amount. That's a network.
It is a network, absolute network. And anyway, so there's this network underneath the Skandia building. I spoke to the former security chief of Skandia, and he confirmed these tunnels. So one of the ideas in this conspiracy as well was to get Palme either out with one of the ambulances, because there was two ambulances this evening, supposed to be, to get him out either with the ambulance or through this tunnel system, and to get him out there, and then with a private plane, it was a private jet plane borrowed from the French government. Laurent Fabius, the Prime Minister, he was the one who lent it out. It was part of the French presidential fleet. It was called GLAM, G-L-A-M-M, GLAM, the GLAM fleet. They borrowed this airplane that was on standby to help him out that evening. Anyway, so where are we? On the night of the assassination, they had decided that was the night he was supposed to be hit. So he leaves his home, and one of the last people he speaks on the phone is with Sven Aspling, who was one of the main creators of Stay Behind, one of the people who built the whole thing up in Sweden. One of his last phone calls, if not the last one, was to him. Then he went to the cinema, and that was a perfect setup for the hit team as well, because then they knew for sure that he was going to be stuck in one place for at least an hour and a half. So while he was in there, the hit team positioned itself around the cinema building, and also they had three different escape cars. There was a blue Volkswagen Passat, and a red Ford Escort, and a white Volvo 244. And so people from the hit team were in these three different escape cars. Also, you had this police car, if you remember the one that passed the witness that came running, that guy with a police commissioner in it was driving around in central Stockholm with the back filled with technical equipment. And what I think is that that car was used to amplify the signal between the walkie-talkies, because there's a lot of high buildings in central Stockholm, or from Swedish point of view, high buildings, but it's difficult for the signal to go through in the small streets type of thing. And then the whole operation was conducted from a commando center. It's about 200 meters from where he was shot, underneath a fire station. It's called Johannes Brandstation. 6 floors down, there's what is today the 112 center.
Which is the emergency center.
Yeah, today it's used by them. But at the time of the assassination, it was used by Stay Behind. And I truly believe that that is from where the whole assassination was conducted, by Craig Williamson and many other people were down in that center there that evening, just a few hundred meters from where it actually happened. Anyway, so the Palmer family was totally informed and knew everything that was going to happen, that their part was to act the whole thing out and then point out a patsy and case closed, get Olof Palme out of the country, get him treatment, and then they could come and visit and everything would be fine. They would be forever, looked upon as saints and angels, and everything would be good. What happened, though, was that when the Palmer couple was walking down the street, the NATO team had placed at least one sniper on the other side of the street. There was a sniper and a spotter on the other
Morrison,
side of the
and you're
building,
listening to good music on 5GTR-FM.
On the other side of the street. So when Palmer came and passed the shooter down on street level, the guy who was supposed to hit him, but with fake bullets, when that guy walked up behind him and fired the fake bullet, at the exact same time, a shot was fired from the building across the street, hitting Palmer from the front with a small caliber, high-velocity bullet, killing that person. So he went down, and this is why they have this massive problem with the autopsy, because the bullet is actually from the front, not from the back. You know? And it's different angle, different ammo, different... It doesn't make any sense at all.
Because the guy that came up behind him also pulled his shoulder, is that right? Like, pulled him back and...
That is what one witness says.
Exposed his chest.
No. He just put his hand on his shoulder and fired with the other hand. There was no pulling and no nothing like that. But, so the first team, the Palmer team, thinks that they committed the hit. And the people, the police coming to the place, or everyone involved, still thinks that it's a fake assassination. You know, that's why everybody takes it so casual. You know, they're running around like it was a game. Mm-hmm. They're not doing it really on purpose, because the people there knew that it was fake. They had no idea that the person there had actually been murdered, you know. And then they were supposed to be picked up by one ambulance, but instead he was picked up by another one. And here I think that the NATO team can have messed things up for them. One with the police car that started talking to the patsy, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The one that interfered. And also with the second ambulance that came first and obstructed the whole thing. Because what happened was that they... When Palmer was picked up in an ambulance and his wife... came in the ambulance, according to witnesses. But when they arrived to the hospital, they were delayed a few minutes, and they say that the ambulance driver took the wrong way. I mean, come on, it's central Stockholm. It's not like rocket science. It's not that big a place. And also, the coat that she has on, had on, the one that they were taking photos when she ran into the hospital, that is not the same coat as the one that has been brought forward with the bullet holes in it, you know, proving that she was actually being shot at. It's not the same model of coat. So here's once again one very strange thing about the Palmer family. There's so many things around them that is weird.
But did she arrive at the hospital in the ambulance, or?
No, she arrived in a police car.
But she left in the ambulance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in different coats.
Yeah.
But what I think it's even one more level to it, because right in front of the Scandia building, the Stay Behind headquarters building, there is a triangular, what do you call it, like a billboard for ads. And what some witnesses saw, that Olof Palme walked on the outside, that's almost down on the street, you know, it's taking effect off the pavement. It's that far out to the side of the pavement that he was walking on the outside, and then he came back and walked towards his wife. Then they walked towards the killer, and then the shots were fired. That's one thing, detail just to make a note of. At the same time, also, another witness met the couple when they were walking towards the site where he was shot. And when you time the distance from where he met them until he heard the shots fired, there's like half a minute that doesn't match up without them. If they continued walking, they would have been like 200 meters further down the road, meaning that the couple, for some reason, stopped outside the Scandia building for half a minute, then came and the shots were fired. Okay? So what it seems like, and what I've also spoken to people on the inside, and this is what they confirmed to me, was that there was a double, that there were two doubles. Not only Palmer, but also his wife were swapped just outside the Scandia building on that, where this stand is. You know, it's triangular. If you look from above, it's a triangular shape, meaning it's perfect to hide behind as well, you know, and with bad lighting and so on. So it seems like that they knew Palmer, since he knew that the shots were going to be fired on at the corner, he walked up and swapped with the other couple behind this ad, the banner, then walked, talked for a few, I mean, it took like 20, 30 seconds to make the swap, and then the fake couple walked up towards where he was being shot, and then the double was the one that got shot.
Okay.
At the same time, the real couple, when the shots were fired and everybody was looking that way, they ran from this banner, whatever you want to call it, triangular ad stand. There's just 2-3 meters across, and there's the entrance to the Scandia building. You know, so boom, boom, everybody looks that way. You just go straight across in there and then straight down into the tunnel system if that's the way you want to go. Or if they left in the ambulance, I'm not sure who was in the ambulance. I think it was the double that came into the ambulance. The real Lisbeth Palmer was taken by a police car from the basement of the Scandia building to the hospital. That is why she arrived in the police car. And, well, there's many different question marks. But what seems to be true, though, is that he was taken by, that Olof Palme was then taken to the airport while the double was being driven to the hospital. He was taken to the airport and brought out in his private jet together with Cord Lidbom, his advisor, and another guy who's very central in this as well, called Ebbe Carlsson, who is a very, very strange person. But anyway, so I must say that after all of these years looking into this, I believe that the grave in Stockholm is empty.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot to say that, but I really do not believe that there's anyone in that grave. It would be really interesting if it would be possible to, with modern technology or whatever, just scan the grave, see if there's anyone in there. Because I think it's an empty grave there. I think that Palme, if he's still alive, he could well be, but he would be in his 80s or something like that. But I think, according to some info I got, that he died in Toronto in 1996. And now I'm writing a novel called Guilty Victim. Guilty Victim, which is like it's written like in a Dan Brown novel, and it's telling exactly this story, but in an hopefully easier way to understand how it's all connected, because it might seem very, very complicated, which it is, but to explain it so that somebody who's not really into all the details can understand it, that is what I'm aiming at.
You don't think that being in novel form, it could work against what you intended?
I write it in novel form with if I change anything at all, it will just be the names. Everything else will be exactly the way it is, or the way it was. And then in the beginning, I write any similarities with actual events are
such a coincidence.
Intended.
Are intended. Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
Are intended.
Yeah.
The only reason I changed the name so far is just to not get sued from here to the moon. Because I pinpoint all of them exactly to their parts, and my aim is to get this made as a film or a TV thriller, but strictly based on historical facts.
Mm-hmm.
The slightest details.
Have you had any interest in that area?
I prefer not to say anything at this moment, but things look good.
No, I can understand. I can understand you not wanting to say. Coming from theatre background, it's always don't say anything until it happens.
Exactly, and also since what I've just explained, I tell you, if you ask other researchers in this area, no one will agree with this. Or very few people will agree with it. But there are people on very high levels that do agree with this, who have been on very close terms with central figures in this drama, who are saying exactly the same. So just like Mahatma Gandhi said, even if you're a minority of one, the truth is still the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and yeah, I truly believe that this is what happens, because suddenly if you come from this angle and see it like this type of event, everything makes sense. Every single little detail makes sense. And if you come from any other angle, it's a big mystery. It's a big enigma inside a labyrinth, you know. So we're back to Farmer Brown logic. What makes sense? How can you connect the dots? And this, when from coming from this angle, suddenly every single piece fits in.
Yeah, it's from my training. It's termed the author's view. To go so far back that you can actually have the whole story in your view, and only then can you actually see how it fits together.
Over the years, I found so many jigsaw pieces. You know, of facts, and it's been like putting them together, but with face down. So I haven't been able to see what image I'm putting together, you know, until they all fit together, and then slowly being able to turn it around and see a picture that I had absolutely no idea from start.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the Scandia building as being the more than likely the exit point. For Olaf and Lisbeth, That
is very central in...
His father worked for Skandia.
I tell you, his granddad started Skandia.
Ah.
And it used to be called something else, and that was very connected with the Nazis in Berlin during the Hitler era.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Skandia has always been connected with some kind of secret...
organization.
Yeah, in different aspects. It is an insurance company, a normal insurance company on the surface, but it keeps popping up in different areas where there's scandals or money has been transferred in strange ways or people have had strange careers. You know, they made what looked to be a massive mistake, and then their career has just jumped up and suddenly they're one of the bosses on Skandia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, just like Lord Carrington by mistake started the whole Falkland War,
mm-hmm.
and then he, after that, he became General Secretary of NATO. I mean, other normal people, if you mess up, if you do something you're not supposed to do, you get knocked down. But here, they work for secret interests, so that when they do what they're told, which looks like a mistake to our eyes, that is when they get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And here with Skandia, you see these people, absolute losers, some of them, you know, no brains, and then, poof, they get high up in this. So there's a very smelly sensation around that company, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for this time, I'd imagine. That's quite a lot of information for people to digest and get through. Thank you for your time. Just mention your website again, if you could, for people.
It's www.murderofpalme.com. Murderofpalme.com.
And that's spelled P-A-L-M-E.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time, Ola, and I wish you all the success. And I'll keep on referring people to your website for your book, Coup d'etat in slow motion, as well as for your music as well.
That's very kind of you. And like anyone interested, on my website, I've got other books as well and music as well, and everything is to download for free. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Once I was a lonely boy, now I'm a man. Thank you.
time, weather and...
Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show on 5GTRFM.
Start your day off the right way by tuning in to 5GTR's Breakfast Show, thanks to the team at Carrison Electrical. And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the film. Each weekday morning from 6, you'll be entertained with great music, news, information, and maybe the odd joke or two. Join various presenters on the 5GTR Breakfast Show weekday mornings thanks to Carrison Electrical, another reason why we are your choice.
Back on your radio every Wednesday night from 6, it's the Round Ball. 5GDRFM's awarded soccer program, hosted by Nate and Scott, will give you all the local, national and international news and information you need to know about the world's game. With thanks to the Commercial Hotel and supported by the Western Border Soccer Association, it is the Round Ball, Wednesday nights from 6 on your community radio station, 5GTRFM.
Hi, this is James Morrison and you're listening to good music on 5GTRFM 100.1.
Yeah, as James said, you are on... You are, you are on 5GTR. This is Fly in the Sky, Max Ashley here. And that was a bit of music from Ola Demogorgon. And you can download that from his website, murderofpalma.com. And Ola will be back in the future with some more stories, intriguing stories, I might add. About some other assassinations. Hard to believe, but yes, it does happen. I have read a book called, I think it was The Assassination Team, A History of Assassination, and it's that was quite an interesting read as well, and the name coming from that tribe, the Hashin tribe, that would go out and use assassination as a major form of destabilization of governments or groups or whatever, and they were quite successful, and it really hasn't stopped since then. But it is time for a little bit of the A News. On Fly in the Sky. Max Ashley here. First story goes to the UK, and Vodafone pays no UK corporation tax for second year running, despite earning £5 billion in sales. Vodafone paid no UK corporation tax for the second year in a row, it was revealed in its annual report. The company had sales of £5 billion in Britain in the year to March and made an operating profit of £294 million, according to its results. But the mobile giant tried to head off a row by insisting critics should look at its total contribution through other taxes. Vodafone was able to slash its corporation tax bill to zero because it legally claimed allowances for investment in infrastructure such as mobile spectrum and interest payments. A spokesman told the Evening Standard, "If you want to look at the contribution a company makes, it is misleading and unhelpful to only look at one line, corporation tax. Let's look at the whole contribution." The FTSE 100 giant, which employs 7,850 staff in Britain, said it contributed huge sums to the UK exchequer, notably the £6 billion to the Treasury for 3G spectrum over a decade ago. It had just paid more than £800 million for new 4G spectrum in Britain. But the revelation that Vodafone paid no UK corporation tax for a second year is bound to enrage some critics. Vodafone has been dodged by allegations of tax avoidance for years, with MPs criticising a deal with HM Revenue and Customs to settle tax claims of £1.5 billion. HMRC said that claims the tax deal was over as much as £6 billion were an urban myth. The company today published a 16-page defence of its tax activities, listing contributions made in the previous tax year. Despite the zero corporation tax bill in the UK, Vodafone paid over £2.5 billion in such taxes in other countries. Chief Executive Vittorio Callo earned £11 million. Unfortunately, that was a little bit down from the £5.8 million a year earlier, as profits slumped because of write-downs in southern Europe. Next story, going to... this is a bit of an upbeat story. Autistic boy with higher IQ than Einstein discovers his gift after removal from state-run therapy. In yet another example of how an out-of-control Goliath state system can cause more harm than good, a teenage boy who was diagnosed with autism at a young age has risen to stellar heights after quitting the special ed system with the help of his concerned mother. State therapist specialist claimed Jacob Barnett would never tie his shoes, read, or function normally in society. But the boy's mother realized when Jacob was not in therapy, he was doing spectacular things, completely on his own. She decided to trust her instinct and disregard the advice of the professionals. Instead of following a standardized special needs educational protocol, she surrounds Jacob with all the things that inspired passion for him and was astonished at the transformation that took. Following a diagnosis of autism at age 2, Jacob was subjected to a cookie-cutter special education system that focused on correcting what he couldn't do compared to normal children. For years, teachers attempted to convince Christine Barnett that her son would only be able to learn the most basic of life skills. When exposed to the state system of educational therapy, Christine noticed Jacob would withdraw deeply and refuse to speak with anyone. Christine relates in her memoirs, The Spark, a mother's story of nurturing genius, that even though she found it terrifying to fly against the advice of the professionals, she knew in her heart that if Jake stayed in the special ed, he would slip away. After years of frustration and little progress, Christine made a radical decision in the eyes of the special ed system. She took Jacob out of school and prepared him for kindergarten herself, as described in the New York Daily Times. She let him explore the things he wanted to explore. He studied patterns and shadows and stars. At the same time, she made sure that he enjoyed a normal childhood and the pleasures that go with it. Softball, picnics, along with other kids his own age. Christine said, I operate under a concept called muchness, which is surrounding children with the things they love, be it music or art, whatever they're drawn to and love. By the time Jacob reached the age of 11, he entered college and is currently studying condensed matter physics at Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis. According to an email, Professor Scott Teramine wrote to Jacob's family. He wrote, "The theory that he's working on involves several of the toughest problems in astrophysics and theoretical physics. Anyone who solves these will be in line for a Nobel Prize." Jacob also has an IQ of 170, higher than that of Einstein. He is history's youngest astrophysics researcher, has spoken at the New York TED conference and appeared on a variety of news interviews, including 60 Minutes and the Time magazine website. Not bad for someone who was classified by the state experts as severely disabled, that he would never tie his shoelaces or learn to read. If Jacob had stayed within the system, the prediction may very well have come true. That is the A News for this hour. You're on Fire in the Sky. Max Ashley here. And a bit more music coming your way. And a little bit later I'll be relaying to you a little bit about what I've been doing during the week in regards to interviews and documentaries. I did do a couple. And I'll probably be having a chat about an interview I saw. Very interesting. Here's a little bit of Big Light out of Berlin with It Ain't What You Think.
gotta cut off all these moments, keep on repeating. I gotta own up, I am in a little mess, but really, babe, I wasn't cheating. You might as well blame another. Pick him up and dump him in the gutter. I am none of those people. Your reproach is making me stuck. You're starting to amuse me by the way you do. Accuse me, abuse me, and use me. Please excuse me. It's by a look that I can tell. A treat, a little sorrow. A rage comes fast, but on the spot, be sure that tears will follow.
It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing.
The more I say, the less you listen. But you might find one thing you're missing. My will is good, don't wanna fight. Couldn't seem to get the words out right. Once and for all, the passion dies. In between the happy lies. Don't you ask me about the lipstick and the color. But ain't it a beautiful color?
It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing. No time. You say I am a dreamer. A dreamer ain't no crime. Everything comes to an end. What more can I say? Then don't judge a book by its cover. I'm just about to wake. It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing
than what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing.
It ain't what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing.
It ain't what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing.
It ain't what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing.
It ain't what you think.
It ain't no naughty thing.
It ain't what you think.
Yeah, because I'm coming home with a little bit of lipstick on my collar. You're making noise in my head, woman. What do you think this is? You know that I'm true to you. Coming home, I can hear all the noise. I'm gonna get home.
I got up this morning, couldn't find my socks, so I called information. I said, hello, information. She said, yes. I said, I can't find my socks. She said, they're behind the couch. They were. I'm tired of calling up the movies and listening to that recording of what's playing, so I bought the album. Last time I went to the movies, I was thrown out for bringing my own food in. My argument was the concession stand prices are outrageous. Besides, I haven't had a barbecue in a long time. Went to the cinema, it said adults $5, children $2.50. I said, all right, give me two boys and a girl. One time I went to the drive-in in a cab. The movie cost me $95. I went into a place to eat. It said breakfast anytime, so I ordered French toast during the Renaissance. One time, right in the middle of a job interview, I took out a book and I started reading. The guy said, what the hell are you doing? So let me ask you one question. If you were in a vehicle and you were traveling at the speed of light, and then you turned your lights on, would they do anything? He said, I don't know. I said, forget it then. I don't want to work for you. Every night I go home and I stare at my rug and I try to move it using telekinesis. I'm doing that every night for 8 years, the rug hasn't moved an inch. The rest of the house is gone. A while ago I was in Las Vegas, I was at the roulette table having a furious argument over what I considered an odd number. Lots of powdered water, but I don't know what to add. I spilled spot remover on my dog, now he's gone.
Right there with How to Say, not just yet, thank you very much. Jump of the gun there. You were on Fire in the Sky, and that was a little bit of a comedy there from Stephen Wright. Very funny man, Stephen Wright. Definitely recommend him, you can find him out on the net. He has quite a bit out there, and he's... I don't think he's around much these days. He used to be on different shows back in the late 80s, early 90s, but I'm not sure what he's actually up to in the 2000s. No idea. Anyway, I thought I'd just give you a little bit more info on that Silent Circle, the encryption that we're talking about, because that does seem to be quite a big theme with the different areas of the American government saying, no, we're not looking at what you're doing, don't you worry, it's okay. And then suddenly it comes out that they have been scooping in so much data that it's almost a joke. They have recently built a very large building in Utah, and this huge building houses mainly hard drives that are designed purely to stack and pack, collect a lot of data. And Obama also stated that, well, we don't listen to your phone calls, which could be sort of technically correct, that nobody is listening to them, but they just record everything. And then if something happens, if they want to discredit somebody, they just go back and listen to everything and read everything that you've sent per email, with SMS, over Skype, Facebook, whatever. And more than likely they'll find enough to discredit anybody, because the net is an amazing thing. And I just have to... My computer's just asking for attention. Sorry, it's okay, computer. Don't panic. And if the government says, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to hide, well, if that's true, shouldn't the government declassify everything? Really? I mean, really? But now, the whole telephone thing came out with the Boston bombings when, during an interview, a CIA person... Well, he'd worked in those areas, was asked how they could get the telephone conversation of the eldest brother's wife, and that no, that they'd have to, they probably wouldn't be able to get it. That the guy stated, well, yes, we can, because we do get everything. And from there, it's gone on to the latest whistleblower with Edward Snowden. But, back to the Silent Circle encryption, and this comes from Mike Jenke, the 44-year-old former Navy SEAL commando. This week gone, after more than 2 years of preparation, the finished product has hit the market, and it is named Silent Circle, and it is in essence a series of applications that can be used on a mobile device to encrypt communications. Text messages plus voice and video calls. Currently, apps for the iPhone and iPad are available, with versions for Windows, Galaxy Nexus and Android in the works. And email service is also soon to be scheduled to have a launch. And the encryption is peer-to-peer, which means that Silent Circle doesn't centrally hold a key that can be used to decrypt people's messages or phone calls. Each phone generates a unique key every time the call is made, then deletes it straight after the call finishes. When sending text messages or images, there is even a burn function, which allows you to set a time limit on anything you send to another Silent Circle user. So this sort of self-destruct feature of the application is a little bit like Mission Impossible with the this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds, except you won't get smoke and fire coming out of your mobile device, more than likely not. So Silent Circle began as an idea that Janky had after spending 12 years working for the US military and later as a security contractor. When traveling overseas, he realized that there was no easy-to-use, trustworthy encrypted communications provider available to keep in touch with family back home. Cell phone calls, text messages and emails sent over the likes of Hotmail and Gmail can just be pulled right out of the air, according to Janky. And he didn't think the few commercial services offering encryption like Skype or Hushmail were secure enough. He also was made uneasy by reports about increased government snooping on communications. It offered what I thought were my God-given rights to be able to have a free conversation, Janky said. And so I began on this quest to find something to solve it. So there you go. If you're wanting something for your iPhone, you will be able to go to, we'll put in Silent Circle, and you should be able to go to his website. I can't see the link right here. But the basic secure phone service plan will cost about $20 a month per person. Though Janky says a number of human rights groups and NGOs will be provided with the service for free. So, one way to keep your messages or your communications safe in this world where people are so happy to snoop. And then they're almost like gossipers, aren't they? They don't just snoop. Then they also want to sell it on once they've got it. Well, you are on Fire in the Sky. Time now is about 11:56, and I reckon I should give you a bit of a weather update. I reckon. See what's happening outside. A little bit too far for me to stick my head out the door, but right now it's 12 degrees without sticking my head out the door. We're heading down to a low of 9 degrees tonight, and through until 3 a.m. we should be getting a bit of fog, and up until 6 a.m. there is a slight chance of a shower, and up to 9 a.m. There will be another chance of a shower. What have we got coming up in the week? Well, Tuesday, showers. Wednesday, showers in 14. Wednesday, possible shower in 13. Thursday, possible shower in 14. Friday, you guessed it, possible shower in 14. Saturday, you guessed it again, it's possible shower in 14. And on Sunday, it's a possible shower in 13. So, a good chance to do a bit of work inside, I would say, this week. So get all of that paperwork done for the end of the tax year. It's perfect weather for that, really, when you think about it. Yeah. So, let me see, what music have I got coming up for you right now? I've just been juggling them around. Didn't like my original selection. I always like to just change it a little bit. Oh, I think I might give you a bit of Australian. And this one is... It's called Energy Song. It's from Xavier Rudd. Don't mind calling this one because I'll be bringing you a little bit of a energy story a little bit later on in the show. Just see if that plug is working okay. Yeah, it is. Here's Xavier Rudd, and this is off of his album Food in the Belly. You're on Fire in the Sky on 5GDR, beaming out at 100.1 around the volcano and across the solar system.
Now to my bones, it's connectionless space. At the end of the maze, take me home. We'll be right back.
great news for Tuesday Night Live. Not only do you get yourself a great feast of local talent, but also you had the chance to win a pizza from our brand new sponsors, Paradise Pizzas, here in Mount Gambier. Tune in to Tuesday Night Live every Tuesday night from 7 till 9.
What was that?
Oh, my stomach. I'm starving.
Sounds like you need to go to Paradise Pizzas.
Paradise Pizzas?
They have loads of yummy pizza, plus pasta, and they even do ribs. And they have a special ready-to-go menu daily, so there's no waiting.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Plus, on Tuesdays, you can get any large pizza from just $6.50 all day.
Well, you better tell my tummy where they are so we can go and get some.
Paradise Pizzas are open 11 a.m. daily and are located at 205 Commercial Street West, 8724-9588. Sponsors of 5GDRFM and Tuesday Night Live.
If you want good music, well, stay where you are. 'Cause this is the Spot 5 GTR.
Yes, it's 5GDR and Fire in the Sky here. Max Ashley, and that was a bit of sponsorship there. But before that, we had the Black Seeds. And reggae is not something that I normally play, but it was the Black Seeds, and you don't often hear the Black Seeds when out in front, normally the behind Nick Cave. And I thought, well, yes, what you need to love yourself. Aye, that you do, that you do. And before that, we heard Xavier Rudd with the Energy Song. Now, talking about energy, an interview I did listen to during the week on that fabulous website, Red Ice Creations, was about biogeometry. What is biogeometry? I'd never heard of it before. It's actually now a new science. And the interview was with Ibrahim Karim from Egypt and Pierre Paolo Albajihini. And Ibrahim is an architect and a scientist, and worked with synchronized aspects of the Pythagorean harmonics and subtle energy sciences, radiothesia, geobiology, building biology, sacred architecture, and modern waveforms. And with working with those, he's they both have produced a new physics of quality from which the science of biogeometry has emerged. And since 2002, Pierre Paolo Albajihini been working with a new approach to achieve well-being for the users of the buildings he designs by applying the science of biogeometry. And they go about it in different ways. It was quite an intriguing interview. Symbolism is a very, very important one point that's brought up very early by Ibrahim is that when nature builds something, it's always harmonious with its surroundings. But when we build something, it's not very often that it is actually harmonious. We tend to build lots of square things, which is something that you don't find in nature. And we also build a lot of other things that float on water and fly in the sky. So both of them have been quite busy in making planes and ships, buildings and motor vehicles a lot, giving those things a good energy. And even if something is built and has a bad energy, that can actually be neutralized with symbols, and placing those symbols in the right place. One interesting point that he did give out, as in something to take home, is that if you want to make sure that your flowing water, and it's in the water in your pipes in your home, or your electricity isn't giving a bad vibe to your home, which can happen, because even with water, which is a very natural thing, water doesn't naturally travel in pipes and take 90 degree turns. That is quite unnatural. And when you think about the electricity in our homes, well, we are actually surrounded by an electromagnetic field because there's wires going around the walls, there's wires going through the ceiling. All moving electricity creates an electromagnetic field. So his suggestion is that on your water pipes, you put 16 horizontal lines. 16 is an important number. It fits in with the Fibonacci code, and that's what he works with quite a lot. Phi, he works with also. That comes into basically everything he uses. And Phi, the name of this show, being that number of nature. You could say Phi is the number of beauty. It's in the curve of the flower of a petal, in an eyelash, and it's 1.61 off to infinity is the number. So anyway, you put 16 strokes, you leave a space, and then you do 9 strokes. Okay, and that is for the water. And for the electricity, you do 16 strokes, you always do 16, and then you do 11. And you just do that on it at different places on the cable or the pipe, and that will produce a better feel. He did give some examples of the work that they've done. One example that I enjoyed listening to extremely. I gave plenty. I enjoyed all of them, but one in particular, I suppose, that everyone can relate to, is that he went to a rental car firm in Paris, where they rent out luxury cars, Lamborghinis and Ferraris, and cars of that ilk, and they also have very large Mercedes limousines, 8 of them, and he only had time to work on 4 of them, so he took 4, and then he left some paperwork, some 10 simple questions that the drivers would fill out when they came back, and that's the drivers of all the cars. So he wanted to see if the drivers could notice the difference at all, and not surprising to him, but surprising to the drivers and to the owners of the rental company. It was quite clear for the drivers which cars had been worked on. One chauffeur knew straight away because he always gets asked to drive one very wealthy lady around Paris, and he does not like doing it because the lady's cranky. She yells at him. She's nervous. She's it's just not a very good 8 hours shopping with this woman, and he has to do it once a week, and she always asks for him, so he really can't get out of it. And he said as soon as she sat in the car, she started talking nicely to him, and the day was pleasant, and before they'd got home, she'd fallen asleep in the car, and he was amazed and wanted to know, well, what did you do? So, and that was just with putting symbols at different points throughout the car. And Ibrahim points out that, well, just in the seat, there are 24 electric motors, each electric motor creating an electromagnetic field. In the whole car, there's about 91 electro-servo motors. So quite a lot of electromagnetic fields in the whole car. Interesting subject, and you can find that on redicecreations.com, and if you're not a member, then you get the first hour for free, which is great until you get to the end of the first hour, and then you go, oh, no, I want more.
So it's your call after that. I've got to say, there's lots of other information on Red Ice Creations as well. Now, a little bit of music, I think. Time now, 12:18, still 12 degrees outside. Now, I think this could be a song that Bernie could cover, I reckon. I heard this the other week and didn't get to play it last week. But here's a bit of Nina Simone with Peace of Mind, a song that I hadn't heard for a very long time. You're on Fire in the Sky, Max Ashley here on 5GTR.
Whatever happened to the voices of the sun? rose. They use opinion polls, they handed them a mandate. Had a plan to make a killing that would build a bigger fan base. With a band-aid approach to policy that's too foreign. Cause the reality of war is that no one escapes the horror. What you've got is all powerful. Immunity to laws, why the hell you need to run the group with an overused sword? Is it because you run the economy on the military? Is it because Howard is as bigoted as Bush Jr.'s conspiracy? And now the people tell the president to push the button. That's nothing, he needs more replacements for the Russians. Everything is insecure, polite and volatile. It's a dangerous target swimming in and will be for a while. As I prepare for the miles ahead, looking in the papers, bombs are in the headlines and are treated like saviors. And it seems like we've been set that they're okay again. Bombs are back in vogue, the tragedies are waiting. And it seems like we've accepted they're okay again. Bombs are back in vogue, the tragedies are waiting.
To want to be so beautiful. For me, it was anchovies.
Mm. Pineapple, but from a can.
When you're pregnant, some cravings are okay to give in to. But when your craving is for cigarettes, that's worth fighting. When you choose to quit smoking, you get the toxins out of your system and you lower the risk of miscarriage and serious health problems for your baby. So quit for you, quit for two. Phone Quitline to talk to people who give you the support you need and ask about our free smartphone app, full of great tips to help you get through the cravings.
Pickled onions?
Well, at least one of your cravings. Quit for you, quit for two. Phone Quitline on 13 78 48.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra. Spoken by P. Caswell, S. Ray and S. Hall.
From sunup until sundown, the Scott Petroleum network of professionals deliver quality fuel and lubricants Australia-wide, supplying to the transport and associated industries in the country and the city 365 days a year. Scott's also offer a network of 24-hour truck refueling facilities nationally. It's easy to see why the staff at Scott Petroleum love what they do. Scott Petroleum really are locals supporting locals.
Sponsors of 5GDRFM.
You are on Fire in the Sky, Max Ashley here, and we heard a little bit of Bran Van 3000 with Predictable, and The Herd was there as well with Bombs Are Back in Vogue. Unfortunately, they don't seem to ever go out of vogue, and yeah, that song, it's dated with the references to Howard and Boy George in there. And before that, the wonderful Nina Simone with Peace of Mind. Yo, oh, oh, that means it can only be one thing. The A-News on Fire in the Sky. Max Ashley here with the 24th hour of A-News time here. Third one for the night. And, oh my goodness me, I just jumped to the wrong page. Sorry about for that little hiccup there. That's a little bit better. And I've got a follow-on story for you. The news is happening very quickly now. US security officials said NSA leaker, the journalist, should be disappeared. This comes from RT News. A US editor has alleged he overheard security officials saying that the NSA leaker and the Guardian columnist who broke his story should be disappeared. Leaker Edward Snowden said that American spies often prefer silencing targets over due process. According to Clemens, four men sitting next to him at the airport were loud, almost bragging while discussing an intelligence conference they had just attended, hosted by the Intelligence and National Security Alliance. Clemens says he was unsure of the men's identities or which agency they worked for, and told the Huffington Post that one of them was wearing a white knit National Counterterrorism Center shirt. Clemens also recorded part of their conversation and snapped some photos, hoping that people in that biz will know them. But bad quality, he noted, of the quality of the photos was a shock to me and wasn't prepared, he wrote on Twitter. The source behind the revelation of the top-secret NSA surveillance program, dubbed one of the most significant intelligence leaks in U.S. history, was uncovered late last week. Snowden, a former CIA technical contractor and NSA consultant, had asked The Guardian to reveal his identity, and he has fled to Hong Kong in a bid to escape retaliation by the U.S. The NSA has built an infrastructure that allows it to intercept almost everything. With this capability, the vast majority of human communications are automatically ingested without targeting. If I wanted to see your emails or your wife's phone, all I had to do is use intercepts. I can get your emails, passwords, phone records, credit cards, Snowden told The Guardian. When asked for his reaction to the alleged comments that reporter Glenn Greenwald and the 29-year-old leaker himself should be disappeared, Snowden told the newspaper, "Someone responding to the story said, 'Real spies do not speak like that.' Well, I am a spy, and that is how they talk. whenever we had a debate in the office on how to handle crimes, they do not defend due process. They defend decisive action. They say it is better to kick someone out of a plane than let these people have a day in court. It's an authoritarian mindset in general. Snowden earlier explained that he had sacrificed his life and a $200,000 a year career out of the desire to protect basic liberties in order to send a message to the government that people will not be intimidated. Our next story goes to England, funnily enough, because it's about the Free Syrian Army. And the Free Syrian Army has stated, we won't attend Geneva talks unless new arms are sent. On Friday, Brigadier General Salim Idris, commander of the foreign-backed militants fighting against the Syrian government, said in an interview with the New York Times that the militants would not take part in the conference due to be held in Geneva if they are not provided with new supplies of arms and ammunition. Idris stated, if we don't receive ammunition and weapons to change the position on the ground, to change the balance on the ground, very frankly, I can say we will not go to Geneva. There will be no Geneva. On Wednesday, UN Arab League Special Representative of Syria, Lakhda Bahrimi, said the international conference to solve the crisis in Syria might be held in July. The peace talks were originally organized for June. In a news conference after holding preparatory talks with delegations from the United Nations, US and Russia in Geneva, Brahimi said, the goal of the conference will be to achieve a political solution to the conflict in Syria through a comprehensive agreement between the government of Syria and the Syrian oppositions, adding that another preparatory meeting would be held on June the 25th. The government of President Bashar al-Assad has said it will attend the talks without any preconditions. Since the announcement of the conference, the situation on the ground has drastically changed. Over the past week, the Syrian army have recaptured the strategic border town of Al-Qazar, an important centre and supply route for the foreign-sponsored militants, and several villages near it. The government forces have also retaken the town of Al-Dababa and liberated the Quneitra crossing, situated between Syria and the Golan Heights. The crisis in Syria began in March 2011, and many people, including large numbers of soldiers and security personnel, have been killed in the violence. The Syrian government says the chaos is being orchestrated from outside the country, and there are reports that a very large number of the militants are foreign nationals. They are the A-News for this hour. Still 12.2 degrees outside. It's jumped up at 0.2 of a degree as we head on down eventually to 9 degrees tonight with some showers. And then we'll be getting a bit of fog up until 3 a.m. this morning. And then it will be a slight chance of a shower. And that will continue all the way up until 12 in the afternoon when we should get some decent rain. So the people say. This is Max Ashley. He on Fire in the Sky. Coming up for you now, and we've got a bit of Thievery Corporation. I think is the right time of night for a bit of Thievery Corporation. Here they come. You are on Fire in the Sky on 5 GTR, beaming out at 100.1. Well, that basically wraps it up for the evening. 12:52 here on Fire in the Sky. And on the volcano right now, it's 12.2 degrees. I just do a double check. Mine says 12. I don't have decimal points on my screen. The other screen says 12.2. Going down to 9 degrees tonight, so it shouldn't be too bad for us. It's been worse, that's for sure. So if you're out driving, make sure you take it easy in the fog. Don't put your lights on the high beam. It just bounces back at you. And if you are driving, then watch out for the wildlife. There does seem to be quite a bit of it out and about at night. Wildlife and nightlife. Ah, yes. Ah, yes. I just... Speaking of nightlife, I did see the second part of the Magazine Wars, which I sort of liked to a degree. I still think Kerry Packer was probably, I don't know, probably written better in the paper wars, really, in the first episode, where you did get to see him being what one would think would be arrogant, but allowing people the chance to stand up to him, and he'd give a bit of respect if people did stand up to him. Didn't quite see that in the Magazine Wars. But I did enjoy it, and it was good seeing all the 80s and 90s fashion coming around again, and the nightclubs and, you know, the things that we used to wear all there again on the big screen. So yeah, well done ABC for that. Quite enjoyable, quite enjoyable. But did just check out a bit of weather while that Thievery Corporation track was playing, and that Thievery track was Sex Elevator Music, and also heard Sabrina Majerios with an unpronounceable title to her song. Maractuaria, and that's off the Incognito remix. While that was going, I did check out, like I said, a bit of Suspicious Observers. His daily space weather news bulletin, and he also commented on the 5.8 magnitude earthquake in the Northern Territory, and that is not a normal occurrence so large. And the point that did really pique his interest was the fact of the depth of that earthquake, and I can't remember how deep that was again now, so I'll just have a look for you. Here's my computer's running a bit slow. Let's have a look. In Australia, here we go. Right in the middle. Funnily enough, very close to Pine Gap, I think. Funny about that. Hello, you guys at Pine Gap. I know you're listening in. I know you like to have a bit of a listen. I spot you on my phone often. Oh, now my computer's doing the little... throwing a tizzy. Everything's running slow. I've been crunching it along during the afternoon and haven't shut it down. Mac needs to be closed down. Well, that's loading, it's loading, it's loading, it's loading so slow. But anyway, Suspicious Observers also pointed out that in the last 7 days there have been 8 gamma ray flashes coming from different parts of the universe, or the solar system, sorry. So last week there was the electron storm, before that, and now I've got the map all loaded here for you. And it's not telling me how deep it is. Here we go. I know how to find it. I'll give you the goods on this. And Scott Told, thanks Bernie for sending in that message about Julian Assange on TV. Always good to know that people are listening. Hi to everyone else who may be listening as well. Good to have you along. Yeah, Julian Assange running for government, which I personally don't know about it, but you work it out yourself. But, you know, he does come from a long line. Well, in his past, he has obviously worked with the government because he did get busted on, I think, 35 or 36 different charges when he was about 17 for hacking into the Pentagon's computers and getting information out of generals' computers. And he ended up getting charged on... Well, he got fined $1,200 in the end, so there would have had to have been some sort of deal in amongst that. But with his WikiLeaks stuff, maybe that was him just flipping the bird to the boys in the States. Who knows? But getting back to suspicious observers and major storms, more major storms, flooding in Bengal in India, where people have been washed away. It seems now that it's just raining everywhere, and when it does rain, it's torrential. Thank goodness down here, we're just getting showers. Thank goodness for that. I don't want to be washed away just yet. No. So I shall be back next week, bringing you more of the A News, more stories, a little bit of the history puzzle, I think would be good for next week, as well as interviews that I've caught during the week, or documentaries, and something that I do enjoy, especially in this weather. So I will be back at the same bat time on the same bat station, bringing you an objective view on the world, giving you some information where you can make a bit of, make up your own mind about some different things, or you don't even have to make up your mind about things. If you just continue thinking about a certain thing before you've formed an opinion, because it's just so good to be able to have a bit of information at your fingertips or already in your mind to be able to work on what you want to or to work on making an opinion about so many things in the world where we're basically told that this is the opinion. So that's it for me for tonight on Fire in the Sky. I'm about to flip over onto tonight's playlist, and it always starts out a bit loud, so I'll try and pull it down for you. Don't want you jumping out of your bed socks so late at night. So pulling down the music there. It's been great being here. I hope you've enjoyed yourself this evening. This is Max Ashley signing off.